Last week and this week, our objective has been to look at a detailed analysis of the difference between the rapture and the second coming as two entirely different events. Last week, I said we had 4 points. It might be more like six. I don't know, because my 1 point had 2 subpoints, so sort of 6 points. But I want to review what we went over last week. Now, just watch the screen for a couple of minutes, because the captions aren't on the screens, and this, I don't think, is in your notes. I'm just going to review what we went over last week. So we have the church age, which we're in now. The book of Revelation divides into two parts, Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the scene in heaven before the tribulation period begins, and then chapter 6 through 19, the tribulation period. You see the little church on the globe on the bottom left-hand side of the screen. In the rapture, the church is called up into the clouds to meet Christ in the air. From there, we go up to heaven. And during the entire tribulation period, we are in heaven. What's that? What's going on there? Somebody moved my screen. Sorry about that. Must have gotten bumped. How's that? Thank you. All right. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. So, we see in Revelation chapter 19, the church is in heaven before the second coming takes place. Jesus is then depicted in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse. He descends from heaven. He is seen in the clouds from the earth and then descends to the earth. So the church is in heaven before the second coming ever takes place. In the rapture, believers are caught up into the clouds and then taken to heaven. In the second coming, angels are sent to gather the believers on the earth. In the rapture, there is the voice of one archangel, and the response is that the church is called up to the clouds. In the second coming, multiple angels are sent here and there to gather the saints together. In the second coming, look to the right of the screen, the elect is gathered after the second coming, and they're gathered on the earth. In the rapture, the saints that have been in heaven descend with Jesus and are with him in the clouds. They don't need to be gathered together. Remember, it says there in the scriptures that in the second coming, the angels are sent to gather them from one end of heaven to the other. That's not necessary in the rapture, because all of the saints that are in heaven descend with Christ into the cloud where the church is caught up to meet them. In the rapture, there is the voice of one angel. In the second coming, there are multiple angels sent out. And in the rapture, believers are caught up and taken away from the earth. In the second coming, believers remain on the earth. Now, I know there's some fine points of similarity in many of these things, but there are some fine points of difference as well. So we're going to continue tonight and look at 3 or 4 more other points regarding the difference between the rapture and the second coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you should be very familiar with that passage by now. Regarding the rapture, we are caught up and meet the Lord where? In the air. And not on the earth, but in the air. While we are meeting Christ in the air, unbelievers are still very active on the earth. Revelation chapter 19, we see, as we said, the church in heaven Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Drop all the way down to verse 19. After Christ descends, or is described as descending from the earth, from heaven to the earth, it says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So here the church has been raptured and is in heaven, and the unbelievers are down on the earth, and they have the ability to gather themselves together to make war against Christ. So while the church has been taken away from the earth, unbelievers are still very active on the earth. In contrast to this, would you please go to Matthew chapter 13 and beginning in verse 24. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 24, the parable of the tares. The parable of the tares, verse 24, Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Remember the parables in which Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. This is directly related to the kingdom promised to the nation of Israel, an earthly kingdom promised to the nation of Israel. Not a heavenly kingdom, but the kingdom that God in heaven promised to the nation of Israel on earth, consisting of land and a king and all of that. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? That is, gather up the tares. But he said in verse 29, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So there are two gatherings, according to this parable, but the tares are gathered first. Now, you drop down to, let's see, verse 38, where Jesus is explaining the parable. He says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The tares are unbelievers. And when these angels are sent out to gather, first they gather the unbelievers. So in the second coming, you don't have believers raptured and then the unbelievers still active on the earth, because the unbelievers are taken first and the believers are left to be gathered second. It's a very different scenario than the rapture. Now, the gathering of these unbelievers at the time of the second coming, while it tells us that they will be put into bundles, cast into the fire, as he says here in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is not when he gathers these people up, these unbelievers off the earth, the first thing he does, according to Matthew chapter 25, is to judge them and then cast them into fire. This is the judgment of the nations in Matthew chapter 25. He gathers them up before he gathers the believers. He brings them to the judgment seat. And in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations," that is, all Gentiles. Drop down to verse 45. He says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The nations are judged. Now he puts the sheep on the right. These are not the Jewish people, but these are Gentile believers. This is the judgment of the nations, the judgment of the Gentiles. The believing nations, the believing Gentiles are put on the right as sheep, the unbelievers put on the left as goats. Now, on the screen, the goats are on your right. But if you look at the perspective of the picture, the goats are on Christ's left. You have to understand, it's reversed, right? So these are the judgment of the Gentiles. Gathers the unbelievers first, brings them to the judgment. Then he gathers the believers together second. There are two gatherings at the time of the second coming. And then comes this judgment in which the unbelievers are found guilty for their failure to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and properly treat the nation of Israel in the tribulation period. This passage of scripture is used so often by even people who really don't believe in the Bible. And I've heard it recently used, and they cut off the verses. It says, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these." And that's where they stop. And they make it sound like, as long as you've helped people that are the least. Of course, nobody's supposed to be the least, right? We're all equal and nobody is the least. But if you help one of the least, whoever the least are, then you're going to be a really good person and everybody will be fine. Who is the least? The least of these my brethren, he qualifies in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about the way the Gentile nations have treated the nation of Israel during the tribulation period. And that's the basis upon which these nations will be judged. Of course, the nation of Israel is the keeper of the gospel during the tribulation period. The nation of Israel has the testimony of Jesus Christ in the tribulation period. Not all Jews are believers either, and we'll see that in a moment. But he says they'll be cast into everlasting punishment. Now, I do not believe that they're cast into the lake of fire at this time, because no one is cast into the lake of fire until the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. You see, there is a difference between hell and the lake of fire. I don't know what the difference is, but they are apparently two different things. If you just briefly look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, in verse 13. It says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Well, hell must be something different than the lake of fire, if hell is cast into the lake of fire. Well, those are the people that were in hell, and now they're going to be in the lake of fire. There's a difference between hell and the lake of fire. I believe that these unbelieving Gentiles and the unbelieving Jews who are judged at the end of the tribulation period after the Battle of Armageddon are actually executed. Their bodies are left dead on the earth, but they, as dead persons, then go to hell. They will be later raised at the Great White Throne Judgment, and be cast into the lake of fire at that time. Unbelieving Israelites are also judged in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. We have the parable of the talents. And the parable of the talents is all about the nation of Israel being judged when Christ comes back. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Jesus leaves the earth and goes to heaven, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave five, another two, another one. And verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. This is directed towards the nation of Israel. The parable of the virgins, the beginning of the chapter, the parable of the talents, are directed towards the nation of Israel. Only beginning in verse 31, the judgment of the nations deals with the Gentiles. You have to make a distinction between those two things. The Israelites will be judged as well as to whether or not they were faithful to the truth. There's an Old Testament passage that tells us one-third of Israelites in the tribulation period will end up believing, and two-thirds will not. In the rapture, only one gathering takes place. In the second coming, two gatherings will take place. In the rapture, only believers are gathered and taken up to heaven. In the second coming, unbelievers are gathered first, and then believers are gathered after that. In the explanation of the parable of the tares, we are told that the tares are the children of the wicked one. They are gathered first. And the unbelievers are gathered second to be here on the earth in the millennial kingdom. In the rapture, it's very different than that. The church is taken from the earth and the unbelievers continue to be active on the earth. Now, another fine point in the rapture, just a bit of a review, and we'll make the next point. In the rapture, believers are taken from the earth. In the rapture, unbelievers remain on the earth. You also have the reference, we saw the reference in Revelation chapter 19. You have the same thing in Zechariah chapter 14. Verses 1 to 3, and we will relate that to the second coming when we come to that study. But in the second coming, unbelievers are the ones who are taken away from the earth, and believers remain. And I want you now to go to Matthew chapter 24, and beginning in, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, so many times this passage is related to the rapture. But as this is dealing with the second coming, for up in verse 30 of this chapter, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, he doesn't mention the gathering of the unbelievers in that statement, but we know from the parable of the tares that before this elect group is gathered, the tares are gathered first. He's very clear about that in the parable of the tares. The tares are gathered first. And so when it says down in chapter 24, verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left, the ones that are taken are the unbelievers. And here's how we know that even from this passage of Scripture, because he relates it to the days of Noah and the flood and the ark. Now watch with me. Once again, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Who are taken away in the flood? All those unbelievers. Noah didn't go anywhere. I mean, yeah, he was on the ark, but who stayed on the earth? Noah did. Noah and his family. The believers stayed on the earth. And it was the unbelievers that were taken away. Now, this goes exactly along with the parable of the tares. The unbelievers are taken first. The believers remain on the earth. They are gathered together, but they're not taken away from the earth. There's two gatherings. There's one gathering of the unbelievers, and then they are taken away from the earth. The believers are gathered together, but they stay on the earth. Now, that's not true in the rapture. Believers are taken, and they're taken away from the earth, while the unbelievers remain very active on the earth. There's two very different scenarios. Over in the Luke passage that is parallel to this, in Luke chapter 17, verse 34 to 36, Jesus is talking about the same thing. And the disciples asked the Lord, "Where, Lord?" And the question is, where are these taken? This one that is taken while the other is left. Where are they taken? And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 37, Jesus answers their question. Luke chapter 17 and verse 37, Jesus, notice what it says, and then answered, then they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Now, there's two in the field, one is taken, the other is left. Where are they taken? He says, where the eagles fly. Who are the eagles? The eagles are birds of prey. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 17. In the context of the second coming, And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And so there's going to be a lot of unbelievers that die in the battle of Armageddon. But Jesus is talking about these that are taken alive from the earth, unbelievers, and he says they're going to be taken where the birds of prey fly. And so that's where I get the idea that these unbelieving Gentiles and Jews will be found guilty, executed, their bodies left on the earth, and they will be cast into heaven, into hell. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Where am I? In the second coming, unbelievers are the ones who are taken from the earth, and the believers are the ones who remain. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, he says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that's the sheep, that's the believing nations, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What that is telling us is that from the foundation of the world, when God prepared the kingdom for Israel, he always intended for Gentiles to be part of it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called unto his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We're familiar with how this is. One man receives five, another two, another one. Drop down to verse 21. Verse 19, he comes back. Verse 20. The one with the five says he made five more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. In the parable of the talents is an illustration how believing Israelites will be given entrance into the millennial kingdom on the earth. And unbelieving Jews will be executed and sent to hell like the unbelieving Gentiles. In the rapture, believers are taken and unbelievers are left behind. In the second coming, unbelievers are taken and believers are left behind. They will be gathered, but they'll still be on the earth. It will be as in the days of Noah when the unbelievers are taken from the earth while the believers remained on the earth. Now, the rapture is the glorification of believers and a meeting in the air. Watch, he's going to be glorified and quickly brought up into the clouds. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please, and verses 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, it says, and behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, note there are three similarities between this passage and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In both 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a trumpet sounds. In both places, the dead are raised. And in both places, those who are still living on the earth are changed, caught up. Three similarities between these two passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is definitely talking about the rapture. It's a very, very similar description as to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's what happens in the rapture. But now consider what happens in the second coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. I wanted to do this too. Believers are glorified in the twinkling of an eye. Science says it takes a twinkling of an eye is the same as blinking. It only takes a third of a second for your eyes to blink. So I want everybody, when I give the signal, to blink. Okay, watch the screen and blink. Okay, on three. One, two, three. That's how fast you're going to be glorified. Woo! Think of that. That's going to be amazing. So this description in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about the rapture takes place in a third of a second. But now, in the second coming, people on earth are going to see Christ coming in the clouds. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. No, we're not done here in Matthew chapter 25. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In the rapture, we meet the Lord in the air. In the second coming, they see the Lord coming in the clouds. It's two very different things. While there is similarity between the two events, because in the second coming, Christ is coming. There is a sound of a trumpet in the second coming. There is the gathering of believers in the second coming. But the things as described in Matthew chapter 24 regarding the second coming as taking place then obviously take place in more than a twinkling of an eye. Consider. The rapture happens quickly, in the blink of an eye. But the second coming takes more time. Let's consider all the things that happen in the second coming, Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 to 31. The sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven first. The tribes of the earth see the sign and mourn, because they know the one who has been causing all of these judgments on the earth is himself on the way. Then everyone on earth sees him coming. Then the battle of Armageddon takes place. Then the unbelievers are gathered together, and finally the believers are gathered together. takes a lot more time than the blink of an eye. Two very different events. In the rapture, there are no signs, no mourning, no battle, no angels to collect them. Just a momentary blink of an eye, and we are changed from corruption to incorruption, from mortal to immortal, and caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We don't see him coming, we meet him in the air. So, let's do the review of all of these things. The church is in heaven before the second coming takes place. We're raptured up to the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, go to heaven, spend the entire tribulation period in heaven, then the second coming takes place. In the rapture, believers are caught up into the clouds. In the second coming, believers are gathered by angels. In the rapture, there is the voice of one angel. In the second coming, there are multiple angels sent. In the rapture, saints descend with Jesus. In the second coming, the elect is gathered by angels. In the rapture, there is the voice of one angel. In the second coming, there are multiple angels. In the rapture, believers are caught up and taken away from the earth. In the second coming, believers remain on the earth. In the rapture, believers are gathered and unbelievers are not gathered. In the second coming, unbelievers are gathered first, and then believers are gathered together to remain together on the earth. In the rapture, only one gathering takes place, but in the second coming, two gatherings take place. In the rapture, believers are taken and unbelievers are left behind. In the second coming, unbelievers are taken away from the earth and believers are left behind. The rapture happens quickly. The second coming takes more time. We, the church, the bride of Christ, are not looking for the second coming. We are looking and waiting for the rapture to come. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, in which the trumpet will sound, and in a third of a second we will be glorified and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. There will be no believers on the first day of the tribulation period. What a sad world that will be. But it won't take long, because God will seal 144,000 Jewish people, and they will be the first fruits of God in the tribulation period to bear the testimony of Jesus Christ. And many other Jews will believe, and then some Gentiles will believe. And there will be a lot of people killed for their faith in the tribulation period. And by the end of the tribulation period, there will be millions of people believing. But there will be many more who will not believe. At the end of the tribulation period, Christ will come, not just to the clouds. He'll come in the clouds, but he'll come from the clouds all the way to the earth. He'll send his angels out and gather up all the unbelievers. Then his angels will go back again and gather up all the believers. The unbelievers will be judged, executed, sent to hell. The believers will be given entrance into the earthly kingdom promised by God from before the foundation of the world. There's a big difference between the rapture and the second coming. We need to be glad we're not looking for the second coming, because if that were the case, we'd be also looking to go through 7 years of tribulation on the earth. But our hope rests in the Scripture, which tells us, in fact, it doesn't tell us anything about anything that needs to happen between now and the time the trumpet sounds and our glorification. There are no signs. Some people talk about the signs of the times. There's no signs for the rapture. There may be signs for the second coming, but there's no signs for the rapture. We therefore should be, every day of our lives, living in anticipation of the sound of that trumpet. I remember, I think it was when we were in college. I don't know if you were in the college choir that year or not. We sang a song that had something to do with the rapture and coming of Christ. And we had a fellow that stood behind the choir, and we got to a certain place. He blew the trumpet, and everybody jumped. They thought the rapture was taking place right then and there. One of these days, that's going to happen. What a wonderful moment that will be. I had a dream one time about the rapture. I think I told you about this. Sitting at a desk, and all of a sudden I started floating up. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. And I thought, you know, we won't have time to even think about that. In a third of a second we'll be glorified and we'll be in that cloud and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be an amazing thing, because every person who belongs to the body of Christ will be in one place at one time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be a huge crowd. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. It's our hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the hope you've given us. We wait upon the sound of that trumpet, and we look forward to our meeting in the air. May you work in our hearts each and every day to live in anticipation of that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.